Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at wise.com.
Today on State of the World, the story of a Hamas hostage now free. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Thursday, March 28th. I'm Greg Dixon. 129 days. Luis Har was held hostage in Gaza for 129 days. On October 7th, he and more than 250 other captives were taken when Hamas attacked Israel. In February, he was freed by Israeli special forces in a nighttime raid. NPR's Daniel Estrin met Luis Har and brings us the story of his ordeal.
When the rockets started flying in from Gaza on October 7th, it didn't seem unusual to Luis Har and his family.
We all gathered in the safe room and we said, a few minutes and we'll get out.
Har is a 71-year-old accountant, originally from Argentina. He lived in a kibbutz near the Gaza border. He was with his partner and her brother and sister and niece that morning. And as the rocket fire intensified, they turned on the TV and watched Hamas attackers entering towns and kibbutz communities nearby.
And we also heard Netanyahu declaring war.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared war 5 hours into the attack.
And then we heard pounding at the door, breaking glass, windows. Suddenly we heard Arabic. They broke into the house.
Armed men forced all five of them onto the back of a pickup truck. They were sitting on a pile of weapons. Har knew they were being taken to Gaza.
We were in total shock.
They were brought to a tunnel and led deeper and deeper underground.
Complete darkness.
He says they walked in the tunnel for a few hours, then climbed up a ladder to daylight in Gaza. He says they were moved from one home to another and eventually brought to an apartment where they were all kept in one room.
And we were there basically the whole time. They never moved us from there.
One room, five captives from the same family. Plus, Bella the dog, his partner's 17-year-old niece, had brought along her Shih Tzu. They were guarded by four armed men.
In the beginning, they were always suspicious, and with their weapons, and they would shout, and we ignored it.
Har says the guards did not harass anyone physically, but he and the other captives were afraid for the 17-year-old girl.
One of the guards fixated on her and would tell the girl all the time he wanted to marry her. And we told her to turn around, to pretend she was sleeping. She was very tense and stressed and cried several times, quietly, so they wouldn't hear. We tried to calm her. We didn't say it out loud, but each one of us, within ourselves, was worried.
They didn't have a radio or TV. Their captors would tell them bits and pieces about the war, like when the Israeli army mistakenly killed three other hostages. It was true, but they didn't know whether to believe what they were told. Every evening, it would grow dark before the guards turned on the light, and the captives had a ritual.
In the evening, in the dark, before they turned on the light, the girl would ask for a story from Luis. Because I have a rich past of stories, it helped us pass the time.
He's a folk dancer, so he'd talk about dance. He acts in musical theater. And one time in captivity, he told this story.
Once we were in a show, and one of the girls lifted her leg, and her shoe flew off her foot, and it did this in the air, boom, and fell on the audience. We burst out laughing. Stories like that, usually funny things, to pass the time.
After 53 days, the women and teenage girl were freed, along with their dog, as part of a ceasefire and hostage deal. Har was overjoyed that his family back in Israel would learn he was alive. He and his partner's brother, Fernando Marmon, were told that they'd be freed in a few days. But the ceasefire broke down.
It was Friday, 7 in the morning. We suddenly heard the explosions. We understood, that's it. We're not leaving. Every time we fell into depression, we overcame it with stories. We started to say, where are we going to travel to today? In our minds. So today we are in Argentina, and we're doing this and doing that.
129 days into their captivity, Har and Marmon were woken up in the middle of the night by a huge explosion. Har thought the IDF, the Israeli military, was bombing the building they were in.
And someone grabbed my leg. He said my name, Luis. He said, IDF! We're the IDF! We came to take you home.
There are still hostages in Gaza. Har says the way to rescue the hostages is through negotiation with Hamas. Israeli captives in exchange for Palestinian prisoners convicted of killing Israelis.
In exchange, our people for their murderers. Because even if they're murderers, the main thing is to return all the hostages to their homes. They need to be here and be given treatment here.
During the rescue raid, the Israeli military said it carried out large-scale airstrikes as a diversion to provide cover to the special forces. Palestinian men, women, and children were killed. More than 70, according to Gaza health officials. I asked Luis Har about it.
I don't know. It's not my business. The military can answer you. I see that most of the people there are Hamas. They don't intend to pet us and to love us. And I have no mercy toward them at the moment.
He says he's working with psychologists now to reacclimate. They recommend he not go back home yet to his kibbutz on the Gaza border. He says what has given him strength is immediately getting back to what he loves.
What's normal for me is dancing, and I immediately went back to dancing.
Which is how he planned to end the day after we met, with a dance troupe, folk dancing. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
That's the State of the World from NPR. For more coverage of all sides of this conflict, go to npr.org/Mideast Updates. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again soon.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing. Visit your local REI co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways to opt outside.